AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you, Matt, Sam. We're going to go right into it. Let's begin for 2020. Our first Democrat of the day is the head of the DFL in the state of Minnesota. Ken Martin is kind enough to join us here to talk about the 2020 campaigns coming up here and the strategy the DFL is looking at. Ken, first of all, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Well, thank you, Matt, and Happy New Year to you and your listeners. It's been a while since I've been on, so thank you for having me back. I'm grateful for you and everything you do to get the message out.
Well, thank you very much, because I know there's a lot of people out there that like volunteering, helping out, listening right now. So we'll definitely, and they're the ones that do the hard work, so we're kind of glad. The reason why I don't think we talked is that we had a very good 2018. 2018 was a good year. You guys had a great strategy. We took a little time off. I'm okay with that. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think there are some lessons that we learned in 2018 that we can take into 2020.
Well, there are, for sure, and part of it is making sure that people don't take any election for granted. Obviously, there was a lot of energy coming out of the 2016 elections. People were more fired up than I've ever seen them before, and people were willing to roll up their sleeves and get to work, and in a way that I hadn't seen before. The party really came together in 2018 and realized that we had to win these elections up and down the ballot to make sure that we were putting ourselves in the best possible position to do good things for good people and for people throughout Minnesota and this country. But most importantly, or as importantly, I should say, also position ourselves for this critical presidential election this year. And so, you know, there's no doubt that we learned a lot in 2018. We learned a lot in terms of how we organize, organizing early and often, having conversations in more of a relational way and not a transactional way, really trying to, again, take advantage of all that energy that we saw coming out of the 16 election. And, you know, the one thing I can say with certainty is that that energy that we saw in 2018 hasn't waned at all. There's a record number of volunteers signing up as we speak, candidates coming out of the woodwork throughout this state and around the country. And I'm really fired up for what this year is going to have in store for us. And hopefully on November 3rd will result in election victories up and down the ballot.
One of the things I want to focus on 2018, which I definitely think we should carry over, is that the DFL went on the offensive. We went into Republican-heavy areas, 20-point districts where Republicans usually win, and we campaigned. We had good candidates up and down the board across the state. You had volunteers getting out of the metro core, getting into these rural districts, knocking on doors. That was one of the things I heard a lot in 2018, is people going up to doors in rural Minnesota and the people saying, wow, we haven't had a DFLer come to the door in years. By challenging the Republicans on their turf, you caused them to have to spend money in districts they weren't anticipating. It spread the fight out to them, and in turn, it ended up being very successful, especially when we look at what happened in the Minnesota House.
Well, that's absolutely right. And when you think about 2018, it will go down as one of our most successful election years in DFL party history. In the 75 years of our party, we've never had as much electoral success in one single ballot that we did in 2018, which, of course, with two Senate seats on the ballots, an open governor's race, four nationally targeted congressional seats, as well as the legislative chamber, which was very highly competitive, as you mentioned. And not only to win that chamber as we did, but to win it so decisively and win such a big majority back certainly portends, I think, well for this coming election, which, you know, again, it starts with good candidates. It starts with a good message. It starts with a lot of great volunteers who are willing to do all the hard work of getting our message out there. And it also starts with a good strategy of making sure that our party is focused like a laser beam on making sure that we're spending our resources wisely and targeting those voters the right way so that we can win those elections. Again, 2018 was a great year, no doubt. But, you know, we can't rest on our laurels. And the past is not a predictor of what the future holds. Every election is unique and different. And so the DFL is not resting on our victories in 2018. We have a lot of work to do over the course of these next 10 months to prepare for this critical election in 2020. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure we win. And part of that is not making the mistakes we made in the past. And part of it's not getting overly confident about our past success here in this state. Look, we haven't lost a statewide election since I've been chair. Minnesota has the longest streak of any state in the nation of voting for the Democratic presidential nominee. But neither one of those give me any solace. As you know, I'm a little bit of a worry wart. I'm always pessimistic about our chances, and that means that we do what my old friend and mentor Paul Wellstone used to say, which is you run like you're 20 points behind, even if you're 20 points ahead. And that's what we're doing here at the DFL.
Ken Martin joining us, Democrat of the day. And by the way, your success as a leader has been outstanding. You have my support undyingly. One of the things which has clearly happened is the dysfunction at the top at Trump has filtered on down to the state. I think the prime example of that is the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act. The Republicans, just how in the world you can't even pass that, I don't know. But there is a dysfunction there as they're trying to find, you know, they're a person in the water desperately trying to find something to grab onto. And I think it shows weakness, especially when we're talking about the Senate. The Minnesota Senate, we only need to pick up a few seats. The Democrats would be in control of that as well. And there's a lot of House districts in the suburbs of Minneapolis, St. Paul that were Republican in 2017, became Democrat in 2018. I think the DFL is probably looking at a lot of those races as well, correct?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think one thing that the House victory in 2018 showed us is that there's a clear path to winning back the state Senate majority, and that path goes right through the suburbs. You know, there was a day and age when the Republican Party used to compete for votes in the suburban districts, but about a decade or so ago, the Republican Party in this state decided to try to play up this divide, this metro and rural divide, which is completely fictional and made up, and really to their own detriment, because as they spent a lot of time trying to build power in greater Minnesota, they completely ignored the folks in the suburbs and in the metro area. And that's to their own peril. Of course, the suburbs and the exurbs are the fastest growing part of the state. And one of the things that I did when I came in as chair is I said, we are going to make sure that we're competing in those fast growing areas. And of course, we saw the fruits of our labor in 2018 with that terrific House victory. And, you know, as you mentioned, we only need two seats to win back the state Senate. The DLCC, which is the Democratic Legislative Coordinating Campaign out of Washington, D.C., views that the Minnesota Senate is the top opportunity to flip a chamber in the whole country. And we certainly feel that we've got many different paths to do that, both suburban and rural. And we have great candidates that have been recruited in those targets already. You know, we need two seats. And right now we've got about 15 targets right now where we feel we have a great opportunity to flip those seats.
One final thing I want to bring up with you is the two U.S. House seats, Minnesota 1, Minnesota 8. Hagedorn down in 1, Stauber up in 8. One of the things that we saw in 2018 as well is that a good top of the ticket, it trickles down. Not only do you get a good U.S. House race candidate, but it helps out those Minnesota Senate races, the Minnesota House races. Talk about those two districts, because I imagine those are going to be high on your priority as challenges as well coming up in 2020.
Yeah, one of the things that was a little bittersweet about 2018, you know, obviously we had two red to blue flips here, but we were also there were only three districts in the whole country, congressional districts, that went from blue to red, and two of them were here in Minnesota, unfortunately, in CD8 and CD1, as you referenced. The CD1 race was one of the closest defeats for Democrats in the whole country, 1,300 votes, less than a percentage point. And it's a rematch now between Dan Feehan and Jim Hagedorn. We feel really good about our chances in CD1. Jim Hagedorn's done nothing to help those struggling farmers in his district as the tariffs are just waging a huge war against farmers, small family farms throughout Minnesota, and particularly in southern Minnesota. Instead of standing up for his constituents, Jim Hagedorn continues to stand with Donald Trump and behind these tariffs. We feel that this is a great opportunity to flip that district. Dan gives us a great opportunity. And up in CD8, while that race wasn't as close as we would have liked in 2018, the reality is we have a fantastic candidate running up there right now named Quinn Nystrom, who really has a terrific story to tell around insulin and diabetes and healthcare access. And I think you know this, Matt, more than anyone. Healthcare remains the number one issue in this country. Despite all the other things swirling around in this country right now, the thing that gives people the most anxiety and the thing that people want to address the most is healthcare. And I think Quinn gives us an excellent shot given her background as a champion for insulin and a champion for people that are trying to, you know, get quality, affordable health care in this country. So, you know, look, we've got an excellent shot in both of those districts. We also have to defend CD2 and CD3 as well as CD7. Once again, much like 2018, Minnesota is ground zero. With a targeted U.S. Senate race, 4 targeted congressional seats, and a presidential race that's targeted by both sides. So it's going to be a crazy ride once again. And I would urge all of your listeners, again, don't take anything for granted. This is a new election with a lot more investment and resource that's going to be piled into this state by the Republican Party and in particular the Trump campaign. So if you want to continue the success that we've had, I just urge everyone to get involved. And the first step of that is by voting in the presidential primary, which you can do this Friday. Early vote starts. You can start voting, and we're the first in the nation, first state in the nation to actually be able to vote in this critical presidential nominating process. And then I would encourage folks to continue that forward by coming out to the caucuses on February the 25th and making your voice heard in our process there. You know, we've got a lot of different ways for people to get involved, but you can start right now this week, and I hope people do.
Well, and you just said it. We not only have a presidential race, a Senate race, the House races, the Minnesota Senate, the Minnesota House. Not only do you have all that on the table, you have the census. We haven't touched on that yet. How important that is for Minnesota, the census there, and then the redistricting that will happen in 2020, in 2021 after the census is done. We have all these things. And I want to encourage people, not only do you go to get registered to vote, Minnesota Secretary of State, Steve Simon over there, but I want to encourage people to go to your website because it's a great way for people. I mean, there's a lot of people like myself. I'm in generally a safe Democratic district. I don't take anything for granted, but it's a safe district, which means I might be able to go out and help out in a district where it might not be a safe Democratic district. And your site is a great place to find out about all the candidates and the people running across the state of Minnesota, correct?
That's right. It's DFL.org. It's a great portal. If you want to volunteer, you can sign up to help in your local district, or if you want to help in other candidate races. Again, we really need everyone to just roll up their sleeves like they did in 2018 and realize that change doesn't just happen. We have to make it happen, and part of that is by getting involved. And we're really buoyed by what we're seeing already in terms of people coming out of the woodwork to help this year already, but there's some huge milestones coming up here where we need your help. And you mentioned the census. It's not just important for redistricting. It's really important to make sure that, you know, we're likely to lose a congressional seat here in a year. But more than just the political lines, that more importantly is if we don't have a full count and we don't have a fair count, the number of people who are going to lose out on funding, the communities that will lose out on funding, we need to make sure that there's a fair count so that we get our share of federal funding coming back to the state to help people, and particularly folks from underrepresented and underserved communities. So a lot of big fights in front of us this year, and I'm super excited about it. And I hope, Matt, that you'll have me back again more regularly. I'm sorry that I fell off in 2019, but like you said, everyone needs a break, but we're ready to go. And as long as you'll have me on, I'd love to come back and talk to you and your listeners.
We get the results again like we got in 2018, 2020. You guys, as many times you want to come on this show, you can. You're more than welcome. The Democrat of the day is Ken Martin, DFL.org, DFL.org. Go find out how you can help out. Get registered to vote. Ken, thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
Yep, we'll be talking soon, Matt. Thanks
you got
for everything
it.
You do.
You got it. Ken Martin, the best, hands down, as far as Democratic organizations in the country, the best head of a Democratic organization is right here. Ken Martin is fantastic. And he is right. They've had success, but you act like you're behind, and we need to act like that. We need, once again, lots to get to. We got primary caucuses. We got all sorts of things coming up, early voting coming up, but we also need volunteers. DFL.org, DFL.org. We'll spotlight that interview, Sam. We'll take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on your AM 950 Monday.
Better Futures Minnesota impacts the community by addressing root causes of poverty, homelessness, dependency on public assistance, and high rates of untreated trauma that often lead to incarceration. The lives of men served have been marked by chaos, violence, and loss, which contribute to feelings of devaluation, rage, and lost human potential. Healings from this trauma is essential before participants can succeed as workers, fathers, and responsible community members. Learn how you can support our efforts at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting. But donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
We're breaking out this time. Making out with the wind.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. And by the way, we're starting off. I'm hopefully going to have a humdinger of a Democrat of the day tomorrow. I've got the feelers out. We'll have to see what's going on. See if that happens here. But I wanted to bring up an interesting thing that happened because I couldn't quite figure out why this weekend I started getting reaction to a tweet I put out last Friday. Which the tweet was basically about the Beltrami County vote, which basically said you have the right to vote this way. I have the right to not spend my money in your county, and that's the way I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, over the weekend, I got a fairly few, you know, righto's coming at me like, you're not going to protest me, but you're not going to give my money. And that's your choice to do, you know. And first of all, let's make sure we say it correctly. Are you coming into Minneapolis, or are you going to, like, you know, Burnsville? Because I know a lot of people that come in from outstate, and they say, oh, I went to the cities. You went to Burnsville. That's it's a lovely mall. You went to Rosedale. Okay, you weren't in the city. You were out in the suburbs, and that's nice.
As someone who actually grew up within the Minneapolis city limits, it always bothers me when, like, someone lives in Richfield and they say they live in Minneapolis.
Where'd you do it? I went and visited the city. Where'd you go? Forest Lake. You didn't go to the city. You missed it. It's down. You got another 20 miles. And there you go. But, you know, hey, I mean, I'm sure the suburbs are concerned and quaking in their boots. Here's the deal. I don't have any problem with Beltrami County. I lived up there. I was Bemidji. I didn't have any problem up there. I don't have any problem with most of the people up there. I mean, there are racists. I mean, for God's sakes, I was yanked off the air because I upset the local Pepsi distributor because I ripped on the Confederate flag, and apparently he called the station and said, you know, we're good old boys, aren't we? And so you're anti-Minnesotan if you like that Confederate flag. But, you know, hey, who am I to judge? But I couldn't figure out. I was like, okay, why am I getting all these people out of nowhere? Well, apparently, the Forum News Service, Bria Barton, published a story here, which actually features my tweet. But first of all, can I just say that the Pioneer Press, the vestigial tale of Twin Cities journalism, you guys didn't even put my quote in there. You mentioned another tweeted, you have the right to vote this way. I have the right to not spend my dime in your county until the decision is overturned. You didn't even... Matt McNeil Show, AM 950, Grand Poobah. You could have put that in there. Jackass over at the AM 950. You could have put that in. You didn't do that. You know how I had to find out that that was in there? The Grand Forks Tribune. Nice. When you're getting outscooped by Grand Forks Pioneer Press, I understand why you didn't do it. I mean, I will just say this. If it was a conservative making the comment, my guess would be it'd be Republican outrage, top of the page, above the fold with photo. But hey, you know, whatever. Anyway, that explains it there. But Pioneer Press, come on, dude. You know, and by the way, you're online. You can't look at us. It works like a charm. Here it is right here. I got about 8 different ways I can pull you up. So it's all right. I love looking at your stories for free. I will do that again until you put me in the paper. I'll buy it. I'll tell you what. You quote me in the paper. I'll get a subscription to the online subscription to the Pioneer Press. Until that time, freebie time, freebie time. Oh, just fantastic. Anyway, I also wanted to bring up 2 national stories just really quick. I know I don't generally get into too much national stuff before I get into a larger discussion about something here. First of all, in case you missed it, and this is breaking news today. It's not just kind of a little bit of a big story. This, in my mind, this is a really big story. The Houston Astros, the baseball team, they've been caught cheating during the World Series. They've announced they suspended the GM Jeff Lunau and manager AJ Hinch for one full season after an NBA and Major League Baseball investigation found evidence that they stole signs during the 2017 World Series, which they won. They also have like a $500,000. Is it a $5 million? It might be a $5 million fine. It was a pretty heavy duty fine. I can't pull it up there, but a huge fine, and then they lost some draft picks. Okay, 1919 Black Sox. You got caught cheating. How come you haven't stripped them of the World Series title? Because they cheated to get the World Series title. Okay? End of story, end of discussion. They cheated. You're acknowledging they're cheating. You're saying you have evidence of them cheating. They cheated to get the World Series title. Strip them of the title, give it to the National League team. That's what you should be doing. Because if you don't do that, basically you're saying, sure, one or two people will have to sit out a year. Sure, you'll get a little bit of a penalty. Sure, you'll miss one or two draft picks. But you still have that World Series ring. You still have that World Series trophy. You'll still have that World Series flag out in the outfield. You'll have that 10-year celebration team, that 20-year celebration. You'll be selling bobbleheads off that thing for the next 40 years. When the hell are you going to have any level of accountability here? Because you need to have accountability, which is going to, by the way, lead into a different topic I got coming up here in a little bit. But this is a no-brainer. You caught them cheating. You have evidence of them cheating in the World Series. Forfeit the title to the National League team. And already, by the way, and can I just say, I think most sports people in this country are garbage nowadays, because the first thing that says, well, that was a real stiff penalty. No, it's not. You get caught cheating, you lose the title. If it's a high school match, they lose the title. You don't get, if all of a sudden and I'll just pull it. Edina had a few. Last year, they won the Boys State Hockey Tournament. They all of a sudden discovered there were three kids there were actually 25-year-old Russians. Okay. They cheated. Is anyone going to let them keep that title? No. You know, you got Sergey and Slav and Olaf there. No, you can't. You couldn't. No. You couldn't do that. You can't cheat and then, but still keep the spoils of the cheating. You know, I know we're not a sports station, but this goes beyond. This is cultural. This is, you know, cheating. You need to treat cheaters the harshest penalty. The reason why you banned Pete Rose for life is because he was gambling on games, and it sure looks like he fixed outcomes of his own team's games to win bets. Cheating for personal uses there. The 1919 White Sox cheated. And we know them today, the Black Sox. We know them today as that. What are we going to call the Rapscallions? Oh, you rascals. You cheaters. You old rascals. All right, enjoy your five-year anniversary to your World Series trophy you won via cheating. No, strip the trophy. This is no-brainer. The other thing I wanted to mention on a national level is apparently the million moms are upset with Burger King because they use the word damn in an ad. I know! Damn outrageous, if you ask me. Needless to say, you're upset about this? Grab him by the what again? You've heard him swear openly at presidential rallies. He mocked a disabled man, for God's sakes. None of that bother. There is a report of thousands of immigrant children sexually assaulted in the concentration camps on the border. Child rape on the border under the auspices of the U.S. flag and Trump's initiative. That doesn't bother you? But someone saying damn in a Burger King ad? You guys are, your consistency is really shot at this point. I mean, you guys got to get on message because you're losing. If that's your outrage, oh, well, you know, the guy that's having all the people claiming sexual indiscretions against him, he's okay, but damn on a Burger King ad? Oh, my God. Clutch the pearls. Where's my fainting couch? Why did this sound all of a sudden I start sounding like Shaggy? Scoob, look out. It's Mr. Jenkins. 952, I don't know. It sounded a lot like Shag. Hey, Scoob. Ruh-roh. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Some larger topics when I do come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are you in need of legal advice or information? The Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations have a long history of assisting people with legal needs, finding solutions, and connect with the right attorney. Now their services are combined into a new and enhanced program, the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service. Minnesota Lawyer Referral proudly carries the seal of recognition from the American Bar Association. Those guidelines ensure that you're connecting with a vetted, qualified attorney. Professional referral counselors help you reduce the stress of finding an attorney. They can help you narrow down your legal needs and connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in a wide variety of areas, including employment law, insurance, divorce, custody support, and more. Whether you're an individual or a small or large business, Minnesota Lawyer Referral can help. For all your legal needs, reach out to the newly merged and expanded Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service at 612-752-6699 or mnlawyerreferral.org.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, don't embarrass me by making me say this.
What does a used iPhone go for today?
Fine. My dad is the greatest fantasy football player of all time, Matt McNeil.
I won our league this year!
Ugh. When I'm getting together with my friends without my dad, we always go in my Sienna. Not only does it drive great in winter conditions, but it can easily fit all my friends with seating up to 8.
My son's friend's parents request he drive because he has a Sienna. It tells you everything you need to know about their safety and reliability. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
And reminder about Cafe Latte, those desserts are sensational. You can get it by the slice, or you can get like a whole one for a party. If you're going to be getting to get together this January, go over there. Cafe Latte, fantastic food. You know, desserts available whole or by the slice, and they are sensational. They had the one that was on the cover of Midwest Living magazine, that chocolate turtle cake. Yum. If you've not had that, that's tasty. Victorian Grand in St. Paul, Cafe Latte, eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week. 952-946-6205. This weekend, there were two issues which kind of exposed themselves to me, which, and by the way, before I get to this, I want to make sure I say one thing. A lot of people reached out to me over the weekend about Neil Peart. Of Rush passing away. Everyone knows I'm a huge Rush fan. 12 shows. I went and saw 12 shows of theirs. Have all the albums, have a few even, you know, vinyl, you know, collector's discs and a few other things. That was hard. And throughout the weekend, I was, you know, it's a band that I remember when Jamie Rademacher and I lived in Wickford, Rhode Island, or as the people there say, Wickford, Rhode Island. I lived in Wickford. It was wicked in Wickford. Anyway, Jamie Rademacher said, you got to listen to this album. You've got to listen to this album. And I was probably 11 years old, and he put on Moving Pictures. And I was like, wow. And we listened as the song was hitting the charts. And we couldn't believe it. We were like, this is unbelievable. This is, you know, it's hitting the charts. And was getting played, and we were just geeked out. Been a fan ever since. Grace Under Pressure was my first tour. I saw them a lot, and became really big fans of theirs. And hadn't missed a tour in years. Caught them in Nuremberg for the Roll of Bones tour, which was, you know, pretty cool. It's hard. And you lose a friend. I lost a friend. I lost a good friend, and you know, every time I listen to the songs, it is there. I watched a lot of the documentary they did on them with all the rock musicians, Beyond the Light of Stage. I think it's brilliant, and it actually is a really good movie because it gives you just a great background on how bands grow and make it and then mature. And I thought that was really interesting. And of course, Rush and Rio, if you've never seen that, watching a band just, you know, meet a bunch of fans who never thought they'd ever come down on their tour and then playing in front of about 60,000 insanely excited Brazilians. it's a pretty good show if you haven't seen that one. So I just wanted to say thank you very much. Yeah, it was a bit of an emotional weekend for me. And I do appreciate all the people, you know, sending out their nice wishes. 952-946-6205. There are two issues that exposed themselves to me over the weekend that I feel as if are really why America is starting to falter. And the first one, I want to talk about here is it. There's an editorial from the New York Times this weekend, and it's a really good editorial. I'm going to read the first few paragraphs out of this thing, and just, and you know, please bear with me on this. Chaos reigned daily
on the number 6 school bus with working class boys and girls flirting, gossiping, and dreaming, brimming with mischief, bravado, and optimism. Nick rode it every day in the 1970s with neighbors here in rural Oregon. Neighbors like Farlin, Zeelan, Regina, Nathan, and Kalen Knapp. They were bright, rambunctious, upwardly mobile youngsters whose father had a good job installing pipes. The Knapps were thrilled to have just bought their own home, and everyone oohed and aahed when Farlin received a Ford Mustang on his 16th birthday. Yet today, about one quarter of the children on that number 6 bus are dead, mostly from drugs, suicide, alcohol, or reckless accidents. Of the 5 Knapp kids that had once been so cheery, Farlin died of liver failure from drunk and drugs. Zeelan burned to death in a house fire while passed out drunk. Regina died from hepatitis linked to drug use. Nathan blew himself up cooking meth. Kalen survived partially because he spent 13 years in a state penitentiary. Among the other kids on the bus, Mike died from suicide, Steve from the aftermath of a motorcycle accident, Cindy from depression and a heart attack, Jeff from a daredevil car crash, Billy from diabetes in prison, Kevin from obesity-related ailments, Tim from a construction accident, Sue from underdetermined causes, and then there's Chris, who is presumed dead after years of alcoholism and homelessness. At least one more is in prison and another is homeless. We Americans are locked in a political combat and focused on President Trump, but there is a cancer gnawing at the nation that predates Trump and is larger than him. Suicides are at a highest rate since World War II. 1 child in 7 is living in a parent suffering from a substance abuse. A baby is born every 15 minutes with prenatal exposure to opiates. America is slipping as a great power. We have a deep structural problems that have been a half a century in the making under both political parties and are often transmitted from generation to generation. Only in America has life expectancy now fallen 3 years in a row for the first time in a century because of deaths of despair. If you've not read the entire article, there's a link to it. I'll relink to it tonight on the social media pages. It is a stark look at what is ignored in this country, and that is large swaths of this country where being born, you have no chance. You have no chance. Well, I shouldn't say it, no chance, but you have such a minute chance that the planetary orbits that have to align for you to make it out of there are so remote and unlikely that you might as well give up. And this, by the way, falls back in line with one of the holiday interviews I did on with Jason Pine on his book about meth and meth production in Missouri. There are large swaths of this country where once you are born, you have no chance. And we've now had a generation of this, and we do not look at these problems and try to fix them. And the reason why we don't is because of a fault within America. We love the diamond in the rough story. The kid that comes out of the inner city, the kid that comes out of the lower class neighborhood, the kid that goes on off and is the valedictorian of Yale or Harvard and goes out and makes it. It's the diamond in the rough. Boy, oh boy. And we ignore the fact. We use the brightness of that one story to overshine the darkness of the fact that there is a crap load of rough. There's an insane amount of rough. And the second problem is we use that one story to shame all the rest of the people in the rough, saying, well, you just didn't work hard enough. And we don't want to comprehend and understand in this day and age for that to happen, for the diamond in the rough story to happen, is rare. Indeed, it is rare. And no, it's not just someone pulling themselves up by them bootstraps. It's not. I'll give you a great example of this, of how we have created a world where getting out of lower income and rough situations is almost next to impossible. I have a friend of mine. Her daughter plays soccer. She's a very good soccer player. And she spent the weekend actually down, I think it was in Florida, playing in this, the best soccer players on the soccer team, playing, competing against best soccer players across the country on the field there. They only gave up one goal. They were really good. And they're phenomenal. And she made the comment that the sidelines were lined with college scouts looking at all these kids. And that's great. And that's great. And they've worked really hard. And that's great. Every one of those girls doesn't just come from a wealthy upper class house. They come from a very wealthy upper class house. Maybe upper middle class at the bare minimum. But every one of those kids who's going to be offered a full ride scholarship is coming from a house where they could afford college in a blink of an eye. Many of those girls, their parents could afford college 100 times over. And those people are the ones that are gobbling up the scholarships in sports particularly. And the idea of a college scholarship to go to college and play sports, the concept was you have people who are smart enough to get into college, but they don't have the money to get in there. Well, you come to play for us. You come play hockey for us. You came play football for us. You come play baseball for us. You come play basketball for us. You come play soccer for us. We'll give you a full ride scholarship and you can get your college education. All you have to do is play on our sports team. That was the initial idea. Today, very few of these scholarships go to anyone from a lower income household. Probably football is about the most consistent that still gets kids from lower income households. But my son is getting ready to finish out his baseball career in high school. You need to have $20,000 a year. A year, since every year, to really have a chance at a decent scholarship in baseball. The days of finishing up a high school season and putting the soccer ball or the baseball glove or the hockey stick away and then coming back on the next tryout the next year and playing again, those are over. You need to the only people that can afford to play sports really anymore are the wealthiest of wealthy, which has shut down that avenue for the lower and middle income families who need the help to get to college. Oh, and I'm sure those associations will quickly point out, we offer a scholarship, we offer a discount. You don't offer $20,000 per year. And plus the fact that then you're requiring a parent, if it's a single parent family, to basically be able to get a kid to constantly to practice, and kids on traveling teams and kids on weekend tournaments. You get to a point where the expectation of benevolence has to be so great that most people are going to shy away from doing that. And that's just one. The reality is we have created large swaths of this country where there is no hope. We're not moving big businesses into these rural communities anymore, creating good jobs. The only jobs that are there are flipping burgers or maybe working retail and at a minimum wage because the wages haven't been kept up. Trust me, this is all a product of conservative policy, Republican policy. It is 100% the destruction of the jobs, the destruction of the unions, the destruction of the wages, the destruction of the opportunity. But what we got now is we've got an entire generation of people. And this is why they turned to Trump. A lot of these people turned to Trump because he was just different. Well, now they know he was lying his ass off. He had no plan in place. As a matter of fact, he's made things worse by getting rid of the ag markets and absolutely torpedoing the steel industry in this country. And any government handouts, he's giving away to the wealthiest executives. If we cannot figure out, these kids are dying because they're born into a system that they can't get out of. And we basically allow this to happen because we vilify these people before we even understand their circumstances or their reality. And until we change that paradigm, until we change that dynamic, we are going to continue to keep building up a larger and larger and larger debt-ridden, no retirement, no health care, no future class where you have a tremendous amount of drug usage and death and people dying at younger and younger ages. These people are dying. A quarter of these people are dead. The average lifespan in the United States is, what, supposed to be 79, 78? And already, these kids aren't even 50 years old, and a quarter of them are already dead. And it's only getting worse. There's another story, or actually a few different stories that came to light, which also are a problem we need to address in 2020. I'll try to get to your call in just a minute here. Randy in St. Cloud, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Minnesota's appliance specialists are ready. We've competed and earned your business for over 70 years. And 2020 is going to be our best year ever. We're offering guaranteed savings on the world's top-rated appliances. We love helping you find just the right appliances and watching you smile as the savings add up. Then Warner Stellings delivery specialists make the hard work look easy with fast free delivery, basic installation, and free haulaway. Now through January 22nd, take advantage of 18 months interest-free financing. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stellion.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming, diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, anytime at all.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. The other element I wanted to bring up from this weekend, so once again, is this. We've got to get over this idea of the diamond in the rough gives people an opportunity to get out of the rough, and it doesn't. And if we don't start addressing the fact that we're creating this generation of forgotten people, things are only going to get worse in this country. The other thing which is out there is accountability. First of all, we just had the story today of, you know, you get caught cheating in the World Series and you didn't strip them of the World Series championship. Dear God, I mean, we have an accountability problem when it comes to people of wealth and people of power. And nothing highlights that more than, it's the Houston Astros, it's a wealthy baseball team. Oh, well, we'll wag our finger at them because they cheated to win a World Series title. Strip them of the title, for God's sakes. I posted the story this weekend of the Duluth cop who got rehired. He had taken a handcuffed man, dragged him through the skyway, smacked his head on a door jamb, and then lied about it. Okay, in any other realm of the world, that guy should have been fired and facing charges for assault. Not only did he do both of those things, did he assault this guy, did he hurt this guy, he openly lied about it. And yet somehow this guy got his job back? How in the hell? You have got to have some level of accountability here. And you basically just, what in the hell is wrong with the arbitrator there that he says, I bet he's really, really sorry. You know there are some people that should not be cops. And that guy shouldn't be a cop. He's a horrible human being, and this decision to put him back on the Duluth Police Department is just a bad choice. On top of that, there was another story of the CEO from Boeing who's leaving. Now, mind you, this guy did nothing right. They made planes that crashed. People died. He's getting a $60 million parachute. How in the hell is that even possible? How? Shouldn't you have some level of accountability at these levels? I remember Carrie Tolstad, who ran Wells, or she was part of the Wells Fargo. It points to pretty clearly she was the person. I mean, it's not definitive, but it looks likely she was the individual who basically decided at Wells Fargo to start making money by charging your own customers illegally money, so it raised the profit margins for the company, which in turn raised the stock prices of Wells Fargo, which in turn got their executive class, including Carrie Tolstad, major bonuses. It was theft. The minute this started coming out, she quickly resigned. She walked away with, what, like $50 million? And on top of that, this executive class has created. They get a free house. All their monthly bills are paid. The free car. They get kids' private school and colleges paid for. These are all perks. And on top of it, here's $50 million worth of cash. You basically screwed over thousands of your own customers. And there's no punishment at all unless we start getting some level of accountability here where you strip that person of every freaking dime they've got, put them in cuffs and throw them into jail, or God forbid, take a World Series title away from a cheating team, or God forbid, fire a cop who's clearly guilty of multiple crimes. Unless we can get some level of accountability on the wealthy and powerful, we're screwed. And the two of those things together, this creation of no opportunity zones in this country and a wealthy, powerful class with zero accountability, that's a bad combination. Randy is in St. Cloud. Randy, welcome on in.
Well, you touched on a ton of stuff that I have been railing about for many years. And this is why, when we try to figure out what we need to do about this, okay, so we got this crazy president, and everyone agrees he's a crackpot, he's crazy. We just gave him an extra $100 billion for the defense budget. And that wasn't just the Republicans. That was the Democrats, too, a bunch of them. And even our Minnesota delegation, most of them voted for that. And except for that crazy Somali woman, that Ilhan Omar, she's just not even American. She was saying no to that, which is what needs to be said. That was crazy to give the military more money. Because what are they going to do? What they just did. And then,
And Randy, if I'm going to step on in here, I mean, by the way, he's being sarcastic about, you know, he was basically talking about Ilhan Omar was the only person to stand up and say, should we be giving the military all this money? And it's a legitimate question to ask. No, we've got, you're right. There are a lot of problems in this country. But if I was to hone these two down into the most important two things we need to do and we need to start addressing in this country, it's one, this large swath of America where there is no hope and there is no opportunity and kids that are born in those areas are doomed. And two, the lack of accountability for the wealthy and the powerful. If we don't fix those two things, we're screwed. Back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.